In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The question that is before us now that Jesus has been raised from the dead is, where is he? Where is he? And the story that we hear from Luke answers that question by giving us this truth. Jesus is with his people, and he is at work among his people through his word and through his sacrament. Now, it's very clear that not everyone understands that word, but he comes nevertheless. And when in that word, he comes and preaches himself to us, preaches himself into us. And we find that in that word, he changes us so that we would live. So keep that in mind as we look at this story once more. This takes place, the story from Luke takes place the very same day that Jesus rose from the dead. This is later on in the day, and two of the number of those who have believed in Jesus, two of the disciples, are on their way towards Emmaus, this town about 7 miles off from Jerusalem. Now, this is two of the disciples, but not two of the apostles. Okay, so this is not the number of the 12, but one of the other believers. I think that the Lord did this and appeared to them to show us that this word not just comes to the upper crust of the church, if you want to try to put it that way, but to every single one of us. To Cleopas and then whoever that other guy was. And in the same way to all of you. Well, they're on their way to Emmaus and they are talking about all the things that have happened in Jerusalem, which means they're talking about Jesus' life, Jesus' teaching, Jesus' death, and now the report of Jesus' resurrection. And as these two are talking about Jesus, who then shows up among them? Jesus himself. Wait, do you remember that phrase, where two or three are gathered in my name? There am I among them. They show up, they're talking about these things, and Jesus comes among them. But their eyes are kept from recognizing him, because truly, in our case, as in theirs, we recognize Jesus not by what we see, but by what we hear. He asks them what they're talking about, and they are shocked that he does not know what's been going on. Well, the things that have been happening in Jerusalem, what things? Well, Jesus. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up and condemned him to death and crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. These two men had been following Jesus' ministry. They had heard his words, and they knew that these were the words of a man from God. He was a prophet, mighty in word. They had seen what he had done with the miracles. They had seen the signs which go to verify the preaching, because no one can do these signs unless God is with him. So this word from this man must also be from God. He was a man, a prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and all the people. This is publicly proclaimed. But all that seemed to come crashing down to an end when our chief priests and our leaders crucified him, delivered him up to be condemned to death. And that's where these disciples are confused. They had this idea about who Jesus was supposed to be. But all that had now failed. They maybe thought he was the one to take the throne again in Jerusalem and make this world a better place, bring God's law into now the whole kingdom, ruled in righteousness and justice here in this world, and then expanding out to be a blessing to all the nations so that the whole world comes under the word of God and have Jesus as our king. But now he's dead. And all their hopes in that king died with Jesus. We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Now, a lot of people, I think, misunderstand who Jesus is. They misunderstand the word, and they misunderstand then what Christianity and the church is all about. A lot of people have the idea that being a Christian is living according to some certain standard of morality, right? We've got the Ten Commandments, and we live according to that, and if we're good enough, we obey them well enough, then God's pleased with us and he lets us in through the pearly gates. But if you don't, then, well, you go to the other place. But if that's all Christianity is, just a system of morality, then you can interchange the Ten Commandments with anything from the Torah, or from the precepts of Hinduism or Buddhism, or from the best self-help book now that you could find on the shelf, most popular one on the shelf. But our faith is not about a system of morality. Our faith is in the historical facts surrounding this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who was a man, a prophet, mighty in word and deed, publicly teaching, publicly heard, publicly killed, and now these guys said, we even had some women of our company who amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. They did not find his body. They came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. They had all the evidence in front of them. But still, they talk about their hope in the past tense. We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. They cannot figure out how the death of Jesus could possibly mean victory. They could not possibly figure out how the death of Jesus could be anything but a failure. So even though they have all the evidence in front of them, they still lack faith in this Jesus. They still don't understand the God who has been preaching this Jesus all throughout the Old Testament, the God who has given us hope in this Jesus since the beginning of time and the fall into sin. They did not understand. A lot of people are in that place. Because the problem with our hearts is not a lack of evidence to who this God is, but a lack of faith. And so, Jesus preaches to them in their darkness, in their foolishness. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the Lord has spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer all of these things and enter his glory? This was always part of God's plan. You see, this is where our ideas about Christianity as just a system of morality, being a good person, falls apart. Because if it is necessary that this man would die for our sin, that means it is impossible for us to redeem ourselves. It is impossible for us to live good enough lives so that we can make God happy. No, we are enemies of God in our sin. We are dead in our sin and trespasses. We cannot save ourselves. And it was necessary that God himself would be pinned to a cross to redeem you. And so all of our ideas about us being good or good enough come crashing to the ground and end with the death of Jesus. The Word of God reveals to us who this man really is. And Jesus preaches himself to us so that we would know who this God really is, as he is. Now, if it's the Word of God that informs us of who this God really is, that means all of our other ideas of God fall to the wayside. And we are then shown the God who has revealed himself ever since the very beginning in the words of the Old Testament. Right? Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explains that all of these things were about him. This is the only God there is. Jesus is the same God who created Adam and Eve. He's the same God who was the one who sent the plagues, who turned the Nile to blood, who killed the firstborn of Egypt. This is the same Jesus of war and of death, of sacrifice and of stoning. This is the same Lord who now was born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary. Is that the God that you want in your house? Is that the God that you want to come close to you? We, in our sin, according to our sinful nature, are nervous to have that God close to us. We, in our sinful nature, would rather have a nice marshmallow cupcake Jesus who just approves of everything that we do and says, ah, you're good enough. But the Word of God does not allow us to have such a Lord. It does not reveal to us that that is the Lord who created the universe, nor the God who has redeemed us by His own blood. It's Jesus, and only Jesus. Jesus preaches Himself to us in that Word, and by that Word He also preaches Himself into us. He preaches Himself into us because He took all of us into Himself on the cross and overcame all of the sin, all of the death, took all of the punishment that we see was deserved from the law that was preached to us in the Old Testament, the darkness that's come upon the world since the fall into sin. He took that into Himself so that we would be free. He preaches Himself into us by the Word so that we would be brought not just from foolishness to wisdom, not just from unbelief to faith, as if it was just a mental understanding thing, but from death to life. Jesus' preaching changes us. That's what these two disciples felt, right? After Jesus had vanished from their sight, they said, "Don't you remember how our hearts burned within us while we were on the road?" I don't want you to hear that and think that Jesus filled them with warm fuzzies. But I want you to see in that the difference between a heart that is dead and cold and now a heart now made alive, warm and beating. Jesus' Word changes you because Jesus' Word is Jesus Himself working on you, delivering His Spirit to you, giving you new life here. And Jesus' Word continues to have that effect. He continues to do that work among us here and in your homes. Now, that God who is the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New as well. It's not a different Lord, as if He was just really grumpy in the Old Testament, but now He's nice. No, you're not going to understand Jesus unless you read the Old Testament and see Him in the light of the Old Testament. And you're not going to understand the Old Testament apart from how you read it in the light of Easter morning, how Jesus has fulfilled all of those promises and all of those images in His ministry, His death, His resurrection, and ascension. That Jesus comes into your home through the scriptures that you hear here, but also the scriptures that you read in your home. And if you aren't reading those scriptures in your home, why not? That's exactly the place you want your Lord to be. Know that as you read those scriptures in your home, especially as you read them aloud in devotions among a husband and wife, as you read them aloud at your dinner table to your children, so that you too could discuss it, could speak of it, know that when you do so, you're giving Jesus a seat at the table as well. When you do so, you are changing the atmosphere in your home, because there is the Holy Spirit at work, changing the way you speak, changing the way you think, changing your heart, healing wounds, reconciling sins and differences, and giving you a new life, new words, new actions that follow. This is the Word that God gives to you to speak, not just here when you're in church, but everywhere that you go, to bring into your home, to change your family, to change your life. That's why we pass out the Zion of Prayer devotional guide. So you have grist for the mill, right? You have that Word of God in your mouth, in your ears. That's why we give you prompts for prayer. That's why every single one of you should take one of those home today and use it, so that this Word may be preached in your household as well. Because that's how Jesus works. The living Jesus came to these disciples and he preached himself into them through his word, but he also made it clear that he is now among his people through the sacrament as well. When they came and sat at table and Jesus was there as the host, he broke the bread, he blessed it, and then in that breaking of the bread, their eyes were finally opened and he vanished from their sight because he is present with them in a new way. We behold Jesus not with our eyes, but with our ears. We receive Jesus and his spirit and even his body with our ears and with our mouths. Where is Jesus after the resurrection? Well, he's here. In this place now, in your homes, as you speak that word, in your ears and in your mouths. He's here to deliver himself to you so that you would live. He's here to deliver his grace to you so that you would know that you are forgiven and that you are loved. He is here to be with you always, even to the end of the age, just as he promised. Jesus is alive. He's at work among you even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.